You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of Luke, chapter 12. I do want to express again my gratitude for the privilege of being here during these days. Thank you so much again, that is to the church, for allowing me to be a part of these services. Thank you for all the delicious meals you prepared and the nice place you provided for me to stay. And most of all, for your prayers, for your presence, and for all of your labor. And I know that a meeting like this doesn't just happen, and preparation and work doesn't begin just a week before, but I'm sure it's a year-long thing. But I appreciate your pastor, Brother Joel, and his faithfulness to the Lord. And I love Brother Nee Smith, but Brother Nee Smith is now resting from his labors, and we couldn't talk him into coming back anyway in this world. But I'm sure glad Brother Joel's here, carrying on this meeting and doing the work in this church that God has called him to do. And I certainly appreciate the wisdom that God has given him and the spirit of discernment that the Lord has given him as well. I appreciate every message that we've heard this week. And I've always received far more, I think, than I've ever been able to give. But thank you for preaching to us. Thank you, Brother Milby. The first time I heard Brother Milby preach was from this scripture. He used it, went a different direction, but he ended up the same place at Jesus' feet. And I appreciate that, Brother Milby. That's been a long, long time ago, and I appreciate your faithfulness to the Lord. And all of you men of God that have been faithful through the years, thank you for your prayers and for just the privilege to labor together with you in the gospel. We appreciate all those who sung and blessed our hearts and lifted up our hearts in praise to God. But thank you again so much for all that you have done. Luke chapter 12. We'll begin the reading tonight in Luke chapter 12. I'm sorry, I've been talking and lost my place. Luke chapter 12, verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the raiment, the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let's bow our heads, please, while we pray. Our Father, we bow in your presence. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me of every sin, every word, every thought, every action, every attitude, anything and everything about me that's unchristlike. I pray that you'll cleanse me of it. Thank you for this day, for the mercies of it, for thy mercies are new every morning. Thank you for what you have done for us in this place during these days. Thank you so much for this church. I pray that you'll bless all their labor, all their sacrifice. Hear their prayers. Thank you for this dear pastor, this dear man of God. And I pray, Lord, that You'll continue to give him wisdom and heavenly anointing and spiritual discernment as He does all the work that You've called Him to do. Thank You for every man of God that has stood in this place. Thank You for Thy servant that we've just heard. I pray, Lord, now that You'll be pleased to touch Thy servant. Give me that special anointing. Illuminate my mind and loose my tongue. And may the gospel go forth not in word only, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost with much assurance. I pray that You'll drive back every evil spirit, every satanic force, every demonic power from this place. I pray, Lord, tonight that everything that we do and say in the furtherance of this service will be to the praise and the glory of God. May there be no parade of the flesh. May there be no exaltation of ourselves. May the Lord Jesus Christ receive honor and praise and glory. And when we leave tonight, may we know that we have heard a word from God and that God has said something to our hearts. We love You because You first loved us and gave Yourself for us. In the name that's above every name, in the name of our blessed blood-stained Redeemer, I pray, amen. You notice especially verse number 32. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, of course, the Lord well knew the hearts of His disciples. He knew how easily they were filled with fear of all descriptions, of all types of things. A fear because of the smallness of their number. A fear because of the multitude of their enemies. And He answers these fears with a golden sentence. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This is a promise to the people of God. There is the affection for His flock. Our Lord does love this flock, you know. He left heaven. He came down the stairway of heaven. Robed Himself in a body of flesh. Lived in that body 33 and a half years. And hung that body to Calvary. Paid our debt of sin. Got up on the third morning. He died for our sins and rose again for our justification. And He lives on high. And He ever makes intercession for all those of us and all those that come to God by Him. And so our Lord does love this flock. He purchased this flock with His own blood. This is a title of endearment. Jesus was always kind. He's always tender to His disciples. Sometimes He had to speak severe words to them. But He did it because He loved them. For example, Simon Peter, the rugged fisherman. Jesus said, "Thou art Peter. You're just a stone, a rock. But upon this rock I will build My church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Peter had many things that he had to learn. But when the Lord was through with him, he was a mighty instrument for God. And that's true of every person that God has ever saved and used in His service. Jesus was kind to His disciples. He had compassion on them. And He kept back nothing from them that would encourage them and help them. He had just described how that the Lord feeds and clothes His children. He asked them to consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They don't have a barn, but God feedeth them. You're so much better than the ravens and the fowls. And then He says, consider the lilies. They don't toil. They toil not. They spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. And Jesus said, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He identified Himself to them as a friend, as an elder brother, and even as a loving father. The great ones of this earth might have ignored them, and sneered at their poverty. But though they were few in number, He calls them a flock. He identifies them as their shepherd. This is not just any flock. This is the Lord's flock. I've heard much this week, and I know that it's true. All across this country, it seems that more and more our churches are becoming less and less full, and little flocks here, little groups here of the Lord's people. It's wonderful when come together in the camp meeting like this and come together as one. But I remind you that there's nothing to despise about the day of small things. If you're in a place where the Lord has put a candlestick, praise God for it. I don't care how small it is or how large it is. If there's a candlestick there, then you have something to rejoice about. We all that are saved are grateful to be a part of the Lord's flock. What a great privilege it is to come together with the people of God and worship the Lord and adore the Lord our God. This is a title of endearment. And you remember that when David went to take his brothers who were supposed to be in a battle, and Goliath had issued his challenges against God and had dared them to send a man out to fight against him. And David had taken his brothers cheeses and wine, and while he was there, Goliath came out and roared his threatenings against the Lord's people. And David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" And they said, "That's Goliath. And there's not a man in all the army of Israel that dares to go up and fight him." And David decided before he went back home, he's going to whoop him. And sure enough, he did. Billy Sunday used to say he went to battle with a slingshot and came back a big shot. But in the meantime, his brother Eliab came up and said to him, "I know why you're here. You've come to see the battle." "What battle?" "There wasn't any battle going on. They're all afraid to fight." And Eliab said, "Whoa! Who have you left those few sheep with?" Minimizing David's little flock as not being very important. "Whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness with?" And of course the devil often, challenges the man of God and tries to depress the man of God and saying, "Why? Why do you want to fool with this little crowd? Why do you want to spend your life and your time in such a place that seems such a little service?" Even the little flock that I pastor. I remember a few years ago, Brother Rob, I really thought seriously about leaving. I really thought it was time for me to go. And God put this scripture in my heart and I couldn't get out of it. "Whom hast thou left those few sheep with?" And messed up my plans. This is the Lord's flock. If it's small, if it's large, if there's a candlestick, it's a part of the Lord's flock. As a matter of fact, we're just a part of the bride. Part of the church is in heaven. The rest is on this earth doing the will of God. But I belong to the church of the living God, the innumerable company, the spiritual justified men made perfect. And someday all the ransomed church of God shall be saved of sin no more. And all the church shall come together at one place at one time. Now you talk about worship. I can't imagine it. Some of the highest days I've ever spent in this world have been with the Lord's people at His house. And I look forward to that day when we're in the land of perfect day and we sing the old story. Same one we've been singing on earth, and we still want to sing it and tell it. It is the song of the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb for thou was slain. Thank God that in mercy and grace it made me a part of His little flock. Little flock in the sense compared to the masses of the people of this world. It is a little flock. It's been that way in every generation. Now there are some times that God has been pleased to add multitudes to His church. And men like Charles Spurgeon, who preached the truth, and multitudes were born in the family of God. And then there are days like you and I live in, the Laodicean church age. As Brother Milby has been reminding us, many of the Philadelphian age are leaving out. And we miss them. We sure do miss them. One day, all the church shall come together in one place. Now, I'm grateful for the privilege to be a part of the Lord's church. And to tell you the truth, as I was telling Brother Rob before the service, I'm just not agile as I was. I'm more fragile. But what God put in my heart is still wonderful. It's reality. And I may not have the physical strength to express it like I want to, but it's still there. And God did something wonderful in my heart when He saved me. And He made me a part of His flock. I'm one of these. Fear not, little flock. It's our Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now the great ones of the earth would have ignored them and sneered at their poverty. Though few in number, He calls them a flock and identifies them as their shepherd. In John 10:11, He's the good shepherd. Hebrews 13:20, the great shepherd. 1 Peter 5:4, the chief shepherd. The one who made the world is the shepherd of this flock. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Ashamed of my shepherd. Ashamed of the one that created everything that was created. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Not on your life. Amen. Ashamed of Him who is in the image, who is the image of God, who had glory with God before the world came down to this world, went back to heaven for the glory that He had before the world. Ashamed of the Lord, the great Creator, the mighty Maker, is my Savior and Shepherd. Of course, never on your life. They were small in number, these disciples. They were a very little flock. Sometimes mothers give their babies a special name, showing their fondness to the little one. Jesus gave a special name to His children. Fear not, when that He called them little flock. Well, how wonderful it is to be a part of the Lord's flock. Never mind how few, how despised, how helpless. He loves His flock. He died for them. He feeds them. He clothes them. Now, of course, as you know, sheep are very senseless creatures. They're directionless. If a dog gets away from home, it'll be able to find its way back home again. You can take a sack load of kittens 10 miles down the road, and they'll beat you back home. But if a sheep gets away from home, the fold, it does not have the ability or the sense to get back to the fold. They're shiftless. They cannot provide for themselves. And if the shepherd did not lead them beside the still waters and into green pastures, they would surely perish. The sheep are defenseless. They're not able to protect themselves. A dog can fight. A cat can scratch. A skunk can stink. But a sheep has no mechanism, no defense to protect itself. It is at the mercy of its predator. They were small in number. Now the masses are not a part of the flock of God. There are billions of people in this world that are not a part of the flock of God. There are multitudes in America and in most communities that are not a part of this little flock. Matthew 7:13, Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which shall go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few that be that find it." God may save 1,000 people at one gathering, but every person must come through the gate personally, individually. It is a like a turnstile, just one at a time. These revolving doors, you know. I was in one not long ago, and about the time I was supposed to exit, another man got in, and I had to make a whole circle around. I thought I was going to have somebody to have to rescue me out of that door. That's not this narrow gate. Just one person at a time enters in at the gate. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The true church is built upon Jesus Christ. And the secret, the power of Christ is the power of His church. Professing servants of God sometimes have been very many, but real believers sometimes have been very few. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Our Lord's ministry, as far as immediate results, was far from being numerous. You remember that the Lord Jesus had said, "Greater things than this, these shall you do." On no occasion did our Lord preach, and 3,000 people were converted, as happened on the day of Pentecost. He left that to His followers. And the Lord Jesus had said, "Greater things than this shall you do." Our Lord said, though, that we are not to fear, for it is our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them." The size is not essential. You can't get any smaller than that, than two or three. If you get any smaller than two, it's just you. But the Lord said, if two or three of you will gather My name, I'm in the midst. He didn't say that to encourage absenteeism, but to encourage us that when we come together in His name, He's in the midst. I'm not too crazy about that. That expression, "the Lord showed up." He never has been absent to have to show up. Now, there are times, of course, when He reveals Himself in a more powerful way and manifests Himself in greater ways. But you can't get to church before He's there. And you can't leave later than He does. When you get there, He's there. When you leave, He's still there. And He said, if two or three of you are gathered together in My name, I'm in the midst. And that means, of course, that the time does not matter. Of course, we are together at the Lord's house on the Lord's day, as Paul admonishes us. But we can come any time we want to. We can come Monday morning, two or three of us, and He's here. Or midnight, whenever. He said, if two or three of you will gather My name, I'm in the midst. Two or three of you can gather in the field under a brush arbor or wherever you meet. If two or three of you gather in My name, I'll be there. I'm in the midst. What a wonderful promise our Lord has made. Your position does not matter. He doesn't say if the preacher is there, I'll be with you. I'll meet with you. If the preacher's there, and two or three of you, then I'll be there. But just if two or three of you gather My name, I am in the midst of you. And so this is a promise of the Lord, that when we gather in His name, that He will be with us Whether we have the excitement of a crowd or not, it does not matter. If we gather in His name, He is in the midst. That is the promise of our Lord in every generation. If two or three of you should gather in my name, I'm in the midst of you. I will gird myself and serve you with heavenly manna. No one can distribute bread like Jesus. No one can cheer the heart like Jesus. And if two or three of you will gather my name, I'm in the midst. I'll be there. They were received the promise of the Lord. They were the social, not the social elite. They couldn't exert much influence. They certainly wasn't a political bloc. Most of them were Galileans, countrified of the country. They were looked upon as being ignorant and unlearned till the Spirit of God came on them. And to tell you the truth, we all look pretty ignorant till the Spirit of God comes on us. I've been preaching a long time. 56 years since the age of 12. I mean, I've been preaching in meetings since then. But I know this. Out of all those thousands and thousands of times that I've ever stood to preach, if God does not help me, it will be sad, so sad. Brother Joel, there's been times I've got up to preach and it seemed the words come so fast I couldn't get them off my tongue fast enough. And sometimes it seemed like I didn't even have a mind and I couldn't find one word. Oh no, this is a stumbling word. But I am aware of this, that it is the Spirit of God that makes the eternal difference. And unless the Lord anoints His servant to preach, he's helpless. No matter how great our speech may sound, our elocution may be, no matter who you know or where you've been, it will be sad unless the Spirit of God touches and anoints His servant. We must have His divine authority. I do believe this, though, that every man that God calls, He anoints. Somebody asked me one time, did God anoint you the first time you preached? I said, He sure did, or there wouldn't have been a second time. I believe every man that God ever called, God anoints and God empowers. And there's a power beyond Himself that He cannot explain except the power of God. Now, for the large part, the aristocracy, the celebrities looked down contemptuously on the followers of Christ. Sometimes, you know, it seems people get so excited. Oh, did you hear about that movie star? He's going to testify. Or this popular singer's going to testify. Well, if the Lord saved them by grace and they got a testimony, that's all right. Excuse me, I don't get too excited about it. But I am excited when God just saves sinners. And that sinner reveals that God has done a work in their heart by their new countenance. Now, my policy is, I don't really know who gets saved or who don't. You can tell after a while, of course. But if a person tells me the Lord saved them, I just shout with them. I see something tells me different. And I think if the Lord says it, it'll get out on you. If it don't get out on you, it didn't get in you. And we rejoice when the Lord saves the sinner. And whether they have a name or do not have a name. As far as this salvation is concerned, this joy the Lord gives us when He saves us. If we could put it in a bottle and put a cork on it, then it'd break through the bottle and get out. It'd have to get out. Because it's so wonderful, you'll have to tell it. And if God saves you, it will get out on you. And if it didn't get out on you, it's for sure it didn't get in you. If any man be in Christ, He's become a new creature. And the former things are passed away. And all things are become new. Fear not, little flock. They were financially deprived. They might have had one or two boats among them out on the lake. The disciples were poor. But their Lord, their Master, said that the birds have a nest and the foxes have holes. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. They were religiously and politically incorrect. And of course, I don't have to tell you that it is open season on real Christianity. And especially upon old-time religion, as you've already heard. And as the apprehension of the flock, fear not, little flock, temporal fears. If God so clothed the grass of the field, how much more will He clothe you? There are physical fears, bodily fears, financial fears, domestical fears, national fears, spiritual fears, and all kinds of fears, and even dying fears. But I do know that the Lord's grace is sufficient even in the hour of death. Though I've never had to die before. A time or two I thought I was dying, and I didn't have grace, but the reason was I wasn't dying. I've told you before, I think, coming back from the Holy Land in 1971 when we got on the plane in Zurich, Switzerland. Young man got on the plane with us, evidently on drugs, demon-possessed. When we got right slap over the middle of the North Atlantic Ocean, 4 hours from Zurich, 4 hours from New York, a young man sitting behind me got up, slapped the stewardess backwards, and threw his passport back through the cabin and went running to the cockpit. And of course, there wasn't security in those days as there is now. And started choking the pilot, and somehow this co-pilot tried to get him off in the scuffle. The plane made a nosedive and descended 5,000 feet in a matter of seconds. And then leveled out, and some of the men in the first class compartment realized what was happening and tackled him and subdued him till he got to Kennedy Airport. And I'll never forget one of the people with us in our group. The stewardess was coming through down the aisle serving things, and he asked her, "Is everything all right? Is everything under control?" And she came back in just a little while. And her lips were quivering. And voice trembled. And she said, the captain said he'd be making an announcement in a little while. And the devil whispered in my ears, "He's dead. That's why he's not talking. You're flying on automatic control. And after a while, you'll run out of fuel and crash into the Atlantic. You'll never see North Carolina again, but I knew I would see heaven." But after a while, the pilot did come on, his voice on the intercom system. "Brother Joe, I'll never forget it. He said, 'This is Captain so-and-so. I'm sorry about the interruption, but we'll arrive at Kennedy Airport at such and such an hour.'" And I got to thinking, that's the way in living for God. Every now and then the devil says, "Won't you just jump overboard and get out? The whole crowd's going down, looks like. You'll never make it. You'll never reach the land of perfect day." But about that time, the voice from the throne room of heaven says, "Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And on the authority of His word, I shall safely arrive in Emmanuel's land." I had some more, but I think that's enough.